The story is told about the father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign that read, "Road closed. Do not enter." The man proceeded around the sign because he was confident it would save them time. His wife was resistant to the adventure, but there was no turning back for this persistent road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his gift of discernment. His proud smile was quickly replaced with humble sweat when the road led to a washed-out bridge. He turned the car around and retraced his tracks to the main road. When they arrived at the original warning sign, he was greeted by insulting large letters on the back of the sign. "Welcome back, stupid moron." He had to repeat himself to make sure he drives the point home. Stupid and moron, I think they mean the same thing. Sometimes we can be wrong and yet assert our ultimate confidence in ourselves to figure things out or to fix a problem. How often do we ignore the warning signs and advice from others on our spiritual journey just because we are somehow overconfident or maybe naive, thinking that we know better than others, only to find ourselves trapped in regret? Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that love does not demand its own way. Beloved, love is not blind and it is not deaf. Love has ears and it listens very well to others. The father in the story was not being a good example of a loving and caring listener to his wife, but also to his kids, and therefore not worthy of emulating. Speaking of emulating, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." I wonder whether we have the audacity to say, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." This morning, we are going to continue in our Keeping It Real sermon series from 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, as well as Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. Last Sunday, we completed our study in the second letter of John, but today we are going to move on to the third letter and glean from the life and ministry of the recipient of the letter himself, a believing and faithful man called Gaius, in a message that I've entitled, "A Life Worth Emulating." A Life Worth Emulating. From 3 John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 8. To emulate is to match or surpass a person or achievement, typically by imitation. Now, let me ask you a personal question. Is your life worth imitating? Is your life worth imitating? So if you found 3 John chapter 1, please rise to your feet. We're going to read verses 1 to 8. So the New International Version says, "The elder to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Verse 5. "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the Gentiles. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth." We ought to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. God, our eternal Father, may you bless our time in your word today. Help us to understand your word and be courageous enough to live it out, to apply it in our lives. May our lives be changed, be transformed, our minds renewed by the power of your word. We acknowledge your presence here, Holy Spirit. Speak to us. Your servants are listening. In your name, Jesus, we have prayed. And somebody said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Struggles with theological attacks from outside the church, also known as apologetics, defending religious doctrines through systematic argumentation and discourse against attacks from without, can be messy and potentially harm the church and her witness. But struggles against attacks from within a church, also known as polemics, a theological controversy to refute errors of doctrine and wrong teaching, and practice the word of God by applying it in our lives from within, can be devastating because it can possibly create chaos, conflict, divisions, and church splits. The third letter of John provides a very good example of internal squabbles in a church. And John writes to help the church address their problems from within, problems that could potentially destroy the church. But in addressing the problem that became evident in the church of Asia Minor, John singles out three men: Gaius, Diotrephes, and Demetrius. Together they represent three types of people in a contemporary church. If we pay close attention in the next three Sundays, we will learn quite a few important lessons for life and godliness from these three men. We will be reminded again of the need for balance, not the practice of love to the exclusion of truth and discernment, not the holding of doctrine apart from grace and hospitality, but a proper and necessary mixture so that God may be glorified as we seek to walk in obedience to his word. Precisely, John's third epistle was written for the purpose of commending Gaius for his hospitality and to encourage him in Christian living, and also to repudiate Diotrephes and commend Demetrius. John paints bright pictures of Gaius, Demetrius, but a dark one for Diotrephes. This morning, we'll investigate the life and ministry of Gaius. Now, some of you might be asking and saying, who is this Gaius? First of all, it is worth mentioning that there are several men with that name in the New Testament. There is Gaius Aristarchus, Paul's traveling companion from Macedonia. And you find that in Acts chapter 19, verse 29. There is Gaius from Derbe. You find that in Acts chapter 20, verse 4. And then there's Gaius who hosted Paul in Rome, in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. And then there's also another Gaius of Corinth, whom Paul baptized in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. Research indicates that Gaius was a very common name in the Roman Empire. So the question still remains, who is Gaius that John is addressing in our text? Gaius was an esteemed, honored, and prominent Christian leader in one of the churches in Asia Minor. He was a good example of a faithful follower of Jesus. What made him such a good example worth emulating is that he had three distinct, powerful characteristics that he displayed as a child of God. First, he had a testimony among the saints that he walked in love and truth. Second, he was spiritually healthy. And thirdly, he practiced hospitality. Which brings us to our first point this morning. And these points are in question form to help us reflect on the message. The first one is, am I walking in love and truth? We have been talking about love and truth since we began this series. But the question I have for you is that, Are you walking in love and truth? Are you striving daily to walk in love and truth? So, why was Gaius an esteemed and honored Christian leader in the church? The reason is that he walked in love and truth. And John is overjoyed upon receiving a report that his children have not departed from the faith. They have not compromised their faith, but they have continued in the truth, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the challenges that they encountered. Now, cast your eyes on verse 3 of our text. John says, "It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness and truth." Your faithfulness to the truth. They told us how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, truth refers to the body of truth as given by the apostles, prophets, and traveling teachers sent by the apostles. Truth also refers to scripture. Now, to walk in truth means to walk according to God's word, as taught by the apostles, in obedience to God. This means we need to be reading, listening to, trusting and obeying God's word. We must be committed to reading the word of God, studying it, living it out, and striving to abide in Christ in word and deed, out of the fear of God, out of reverence for God. Love and truth together are powerful, and they will change your life. In fact, true agape love is built on truth. John loved Gaius in the truth because they shared the same commitment to the truth and the gospel. And the truth is about Jesus and his teaching. We too, like Gaius, must remain committed to walking in the truth. Like a tree firmly planted, grounded, established, and built up in Christ, we must be committed to the truth of the gospel. Now, being committed to the truth of the gospel or walking in the truth has a lot to do with our character, our behavior, our attitude, and everything that we are and do. We must reflect Jesus. People must see the difference that we are followers of Jesus, people that live in the truth. When it comes to loving others, we must show that we love the truth by obeying it. Sometimes it's hard to love people. I know that. But we are commanded to love them anyway. Even your enemies. Bible says love your enemies and pray for them. We obey that because we are committed to follow Jesus and his teaching. John was not the only one to love guests in the truth. Some of the brothers had made several visits to Gaius's house and church. And they also testified to John that Gaius was faithful to the truth because he walked the talk. He walked in truth. Now, in order to apply this in our personal lives, I want to ask you a few questions. What comments do you solicit from other believers? What comments do you solicit from your neighbor? Even from your boss, your co-workers, your peers? What kind of comments do you solicit? Do they testify of your commitment and your love for the truth? Do they admire your steadfast love and obedience to the Word of God? People that you work with or people you live with in your community or neighborhoods, do they know that you are a Christian by the way you live? How about your friends, like I said, your peers? Would they be surprised if they found out that you are a Christian, given your behavior and character? John showed that we need to commend one another. In verse 3, others spoke well of Gaius, but we should also speak well of our brothers and sisters. And we must celebrate each other's gifts, giving honor to whom honor is due. We must lift each other up and not bring each other down. In other words, let's make a habit of speaking well of others. We should also seek to always rejoice in the faithfulness of others to the truth. They have labored for years in the Lord. We can always find something good to say about their commitment to Jesus. In verse 4, John rejoiced after learning that his children in the faith were walking in the truth. When you see your brother or sister walking in the truth, do you rejoice with them? Or you get offended? Let's uphold each other before the Lord and celebrate the body of Christ. The world will not do it for us. We have to do it for each other. Which brings us to our second point. Am I spiritually healthy? In other words, are you spiritually healthy? Why was Gaius an esteemed and honored Christian in the church? Why was he worthy of imitating? The second quality of Gaius is that he was spiritually healthy. What does that mean? Most of us go to the doctor once a year for an annual physical checkup. This helps us to ascertain where we stand concerning our spiritual health. Our physical health, sorry. When was the last time you had a spiritual checkup? When was the last time you made sure that you were spiritually healthy? According to what the Word of God says. In verse 2 of our text, John says to Gaius, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy your good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." John prays for physical health and that all may go well with Gaius. John wants the physical health of Gaius to match his spiritual health. Gaius had a flourishing spiritual life. He was sound in the faith, very healthy. And then John says, "I pray your physical health be as good as your spiritual health." That was a prayer. Now, in order for us to be healthy, what do we need to do? We need to read the Word of God. Meditate on it, and then pray what it says, or do what it says. We dealt with some of that when we learned about praying the scriptures. We were taught how to pray the scriptures in that message. If you want, you can go back to it and listen to it one more time. We must be asking, what is God saying to me in what I'm reading? And what does God want me to do about what I am reading? As a church, we are positioned for church health and spiritual growth when we are living out the five purposes of the church, which are fellowship, discipleship, worship, ministry, and evangelism. One writer says these five purposes of the church are commanded by Jesus in the Great Commandment and Great Commission, explained by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, described in Jesus' prayer for the church in John chapter 17, and modeled by the first church in Jerusalem, found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. So these five purposes, five facets of health, are a sign that there is life in the church and that we are growing, because if we are not healthy, we can't grow. We all need to be healthy as a body, as a community of believers, in order for us to grow towards maturity in Christ. So this is not just at personal level. This can also be at church level. They fellowshipped. They edified each other. They worshipped and ministered to others. And they also shared the gospel. They evangelized. As a result, verse 47 in the book of Acts chapter 2 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Let's go and do likewise. Let's leave this thing out, and the Lord will bless this fellowship. Which brings us to our last point. Am I practicing hospitality by serving others in love? Am I practicing hospitality by serving others in love? Or should I flip that question and say, are you practicing hospitality by serving others in love? That is part of our vision and mission statement. Serving others in love. Are you living out your faith in loving others and serving them with the love of Jesus? Remember, faith without works is dead, according to James. Faith without works is dead. Gaius was engaged in the ministry of hospitality. Church leaders traveled from town to town, helping establish new congregations and to edify the church. And since hospitality was a virtue in the ancient world, they depended on the hospitality of fellow believers who opened up their homes and took care of their needs. Gaius was one who welcomed these leaders into his home. These men would minister in a local church for a period, providing spiritual encouragement and doctrinal instruction, which is the doctrine of the apostles. As one commentator says, false teachers saw this as an opportunity for a free lunch. They would come into town, find the church, and claim to be true teachers of the gospel. They would claim to speak the words of God. They would ask for a place to stay. And once there, they would teach their lies, seeking converts and destroying the church. They went against the teaching of Paul. They went against the teaching of the apostles. John himself, which is his first witness of Jesus, they went against whatever they taught, but they were trying to mislead the church. However, when it comes to hospitality, 2 John is mostly negative when the elect lady warning the elect lady to stop welcoming false teachers into her home. 3 John is mostly positive, commending Gaius because he received and welcomed and encouraged true teachers with the gift of hospitality. Gaius set an example for the church by lodging, feeding, and supporting these men. John says in 3 John chapter 1, verse 5, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you." For Gaius, hospitality was a habit, and his reputation for friendship and generosity was also a habit, especially to traveling teachers who came speaking the word of God, people that we know as missionaries today. So John wrote to affirm, to encourage, and to thank him for living out his faith in the truth. And therefore, we are encouraged to emulate this man, to be loving and caring, to be taking care of the work of God, not only through preachers, but in general, we have ministries here at the church. You can participate in them and advance the kingdom of God. You can teach Sunday school and advance the kingdom of God. You can give your money to support the ministries here. You are advancing the kingdom of God. You can do a lot for the sake of the kingdom. It doesn't have to be what John did here. That's why it's not always by imitation. It's by emulating, getting a leaf from his example and living that out in your own personal life. Now, in closing, Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Share with God's people and practice hospitality. So let's all strive to emulate Gaius. We should walk in love and truth. Strive to become spiritually healthy people. And continue to practice hospitality by serving others in love. How that looks like is up to the gift and the calling that God has bestowed upon your hearts. There are many gifts in the body of Christ that God has given us. And if you'd like to know, or how you can know what God has called you to do or has placed on your heart, we can always help you find the scriptures where the gifts in the body of Christ are described. But my prayer for you as we prepare to depart from this place is that we may always be doers of the word of God. Then we will grow, become healthy in our walk with the Lord, and we will be growing each and every day from one level of grace to the other. Let's pray. Father, we thank you because you loved us so much that you sent your Son, your only dear Son, to sever us from the power of sin. He died on the cross as a ransom for our sin. Our prayer is that we may be true followers of Jesus, who will seek to live out the word of God, to follow him with everything that we've got, and to be good examples for others to emulate. May we examine our hearts and see whether we are worth emulating. Are we worth imitating? Help us, Lord, to answer that question. And if we are found wanting, help us to repent, to turn away from our unfruitful works of darkness, and to begin walking in light. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to walk in love. Help us, Lord Jesus, to abide in Christ, so that we may be healthy and bear much fruit to the glory of your great name. And may we be hospitable and serve others to the glory of your great name. May this word not return to thee void, but accomplish the mission for which it was sent. And now, May the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us, because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said, Amen. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.